evening, everyone. You've tuned in. Oh, my voices went funny, huh? Ooh, talking about tuning in. This is Veronica Entwistle. You've tuned in to Radiance by Design. And I'm tuning my voice as if it's some kind of musical instrument. Isn't that fun? A lot of us got these funny colds. So the challenge is to make it really poetic and melodic. How are you this evening? It's cold as can be here in the Northwest, and I think in several places in this country, we're getting amazing weather patterns. And I heard that finally down, I don't know how far around California, but Santa Cruz anyway was having amazing rains today, and they sure need them. So there are some benefits going on. And what I want to talk about tonight before you call in, before we talk to you about your life, and what's kind of holding you up and what's absolutely expanding you these days, I wanted to talk about on Tuesday night on Paradigm Shifters, we ran a show with Galexis, which Galexis is a wonderful group of channeled beings, you know, through Ginger Matro, and you've probably heard them before. They've been on Paradigm Shifters probably seven or eight times, and I was delighted to ask them about Fukushima and some of the more weird and smarmy things that are going on the planet. And it was such a strong reminder that you and I are not without power. You know, I'm always quoting Peter Calhoun and the thing about we are so amazingly powerful when we let ourselves be. And what they were talking about and what Galexis was talking about is Fukushima, for example, is a really good, for us, it's the experience of when we have a pull-apart reality and we're pulling things apart and we're demanding and commanding them inside of ourselves, inside of each of us, there is that pulling apart, that revolutionary, that destructive element. And what they're recommending is something we've heard before, which is to go in there and really feel the destructive part of your own nature and to recognize when it's fission versus fusion, there's always a drive to pull apart as opposed to moving into the collective. And so you know that we're microcosms of all that is, right? And maybe we don't feel like we have that much power, but it gives us something very important to do. If we all went in and took responsibility for that aspect of our inner selves, we would be able to, collect with others easier, fuse with other groups easier, be in common, having something in some reason to feel like we are all a part of something that needs me and needs you to empower it. And if it's a really strong, positive feeling, then we're a part of it. So what you have to do for that is find out when you're holding back against it, when you're resisting, when you're being destructive, and so on. So their recommendation is that that's the sort of thing we should be doing. And I love that. It's not about blaming them or blaming someone else. And I really do believe, I don't know what you feel about this, but I believe that we also need to lay claim to those kinds of things that are going on around the planet that are evidence of, for example, greed. If I hoard enough, whatever it is, gold, money, houses, whatever, then you don't get any and I win, right? That whole approach has to change in humanity. That whole kind of me, not you, has to change, or we're done as a species. I think you all know that. I can feel it and see it, and most of you can feel it and see it. We know better, don't we? Anyway, so that's a lot of what Galexis was talking about in different terms, in different ways, is, you know, united we stand, and united means united in the transformation of those darker, shadowy feelings that we all have. We all have the greed. We all have the possession. We all have the jealousy. We all have the destruction. We all have war, right? We all have the pollution, that sort of thing. And on it goes. So if we can really call up and feel or really get in touch with that, we can have more respect and more kindness when it comes to some of these terrible things that go on. Not only that, you know, they were talking a lot about the One Earth or the New Earth. I think of it as One Earth because I have this beautiful necklace made by Randy Masters, and it's got ET writing on it that says it's One Earth for all of us. And it's a wonderful thing. So when they're talking about the new Earth, and I keep thinking of it as the One Earth, it's really important to remember that, for example, if we're clearing Fukushima destruction out of our consciousness, if we're clearing ourselves and we're vibrating, when we clear that sort of thing, we vibrate at a more at an energy field that's much more conducive to building, right? If we're clearing away the destructive aspects or the resistances or the greeds that are me, not you, that sort of thing, then we become a much greater, a much stronger, a much kinder field. And how I think of that is the new world is where you and I are working to raise our fields in frequency in myself, me first, right? Like on an airplane, you have to put your own oxygen mask on first and then help other people. But if I clear my fields in frequency and I can radiate at a higher and higher level, then I don't run into the same kind of destructive things. I don't attract it anymore. I don't run into as many or just attract in as many difficult situations as I did before. So whenever we're in a difficult situation, what we want to do is feel it, see it, know it, own it. For heaven's sakes, own it. And find out what's going on in you that is being expressed by the difficult situation. Bring it up, feel it, and command total release. So we're talking about the new earth. It's like the more of us that release like that, the more we're in a kind of a collective that doesn't really experience some of the lower kind of dog-eat-dog stuff that we've been doing. So I'm not really sure if it's... I've heard so many different ways of talking about the new earth. And in my intuitive nature, which is pretty strong, I have to tell you, I perceive it as just a shift in reality that we can maintain if we keep ourselves clearing and radiating at a higher level. And we maintain it better when many, many of us are where two or more are gathered. Let's get with the more part too, eh? As we get way up there frequency-wise, it is like we're in a totally different reality. So let's work on that. Let's talk. When you phone in tonight, let's talk about, what's holding you back or what's lifting you up or what kind of experiences you've been having this week. And anything you want to talk about, in fact, you can write to me, email me, veronica@veronicaantwistle.com, or just call in to the radio station and talk about what you're going through, and we'll see if we can help you unhook tethers that are holding you down in the lower consciousness. And like a kite, we can help each other to unhook and fly a little higher, and in our collective, we'll have a world that we're going to invent because our intentions will be very, very strong and very resonant while we're there. I want it to be a rich, rich world, a world filled with growing, changing, loving, beauty, consciousness, angels and guides and gardens and who knows what all, right? What do you want to see over there? Magical machines that take you wherever you want with a wink of an eye. How about that? And machines that don't need any destructive action on our world in order to keep themselves going. We could go on and on. So I'm hoping that you're going to call in after our meditation. And our meditation, in many ways, I always talk about it, is to develop a coherency amongst us all, right? So it's also a way to have a collective of a higher frequency energy. We're sharing, when I give you my meditational suggestions, I'm taking this person onto the table, and they have this experience or that. You don't have to do that. You can bring in anyone you want, or you can join me. But what we're doing is creating a structure in which those frequencies can be kind of juiced so that they go up higher and higher. And it's a very, very powerful tool. So I hope you join me in our coherent meditation and will become of the one earth, the new earth. Rise above it, boys and girls. Are you ready? I had another idea, but I forgot what it was, so never mind about that. Let's take a couple of breaths. Great. Oh, wait a minute. It's funny, the first thing that happens, I start doing a breath, and somebody's got a terrible belly ache. I'm like, okay, well, let's see if we can do some healing energy on that. Let's take a few breaths and build up our structure. Now let's call in the present, all the various forms of the present, within and without. Fill yourself with the present of your divinity. Now above your head, about 2 miles, create a golden ball. Below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. And run a filament of light from the upper golden ball down through the spine into the lower golden ball. So you're on a spin, aren't you? And now from the upper golden ball, drop a four-sided pyramid. And it's way out there, so you've got room to move inside of it. Good. And upside down, meeting it base to base, is another four-sided pyramid. And its point goes into the lower golden ball. So now you've got 2 golden pyramids pushed together. They create an 8-sided structure. And inside that, you've got a crystal ball. Oh my, it's beautiful. Spectral hues all over the place. It's all kinds of colors. And inside of that, there's a star tetrahedron, and that's your 3-dimensional Star of David. It's also known as your Merkaba. It's your light body. Now remember, your light body, talking about the new earth, your light body is that amazing star-shaped light around your body. And when you learn to palpate it, when you learn to experience it, and you learn to feel it, you can move yourself out of one dimensional being into another. I haven't mastered that entirely yet, although I'm beginning to realize my light body's pretty active. I'm sure yours is too. Well, we're going to make it more active, aren't we? So here we are in our light body, or our star tetrahedron. And now let's spin and spin and spin and spin and spin and spin as we do. We see in front of us a magical screen. Great. And on that screen, we're going to create a little series of movies. The first movie is a movie all about you and who you want to become. And you've heard me say this before. I always want to become consciously multidimensional, so that I can see, speak, and know in every dimension. And I don't know what you want to become. You don't have to do the same as me, Ken, if you want. It doesn't matter. But we just see all that evolving going on. So you reach the dream that's right there on your beautiful, magical screen. And wrap that in light. And now the second screen is you creating a project. What is it you want to create? It could be a home and family. It could be healing. It could be a round-the-world journey. It could be space travel. It could be building a house. It could be writing a book, dancing a dance, doing a TV show. Pick your thing. And now we're going to see all the resources, the time, the money, the people, the associations, the evolution of this entire project. And when you feel like it's coming to a successful conclusion in your vision, you want to see all of the resources coming together to sustain your project. That's right. It should sustain itself for as long as it needs. That's it. And all the pieces come together, and I feel like it's very nurtured. And now wrap it in light and move it over to the side. Now we're going to do the Galactic Healing Center. Now remember, you and I have a huge bank of guides and angels around us. Big kind of fluctuating, for me anyway, they look like They look like frequencies sort of moving up and down in peaks and moving up and down. And I can tell they personify sometimes, but very often to me they look like banks of different frequencies and energies, and they have a lot of intelligences to them. And if you ask, you can feel their guidance, and then you can feel their guidance, so that what you have behind you and around them is an infinite, infinite variety of guides and angels and sometimes ancestors and all kinds of saints or people that you've loved that you were related to maybe, or good friends that have crossed over. You can really start to perceive the broad spectrum of beingness and of consciousnesses that are in those wonderful fluctuating patterns. So here we are, we're asking the healing team. It'll be small at first, unless you can handle a little healing team full, or filling up your healing room. Maybe you can. Because this stuff's magical, so you can make as many beings as want to come in to be around your table. Anyway, make it manageable for yourself. Bring in your healing team, the ones that are crackerjack at healing. The first person that lies on the table is you, or me. So lie down there, and you might have an issue that you want to ask them about, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual. Good. And, you know, if you don't, they will tell you that they want to do something. But if you have something special on your mind, they'll work with you on that. So I have something special in my mind. I'm not telling you what. And I'm asking for their help on it. Now, it's really interesting. You might remember this part as well, because I have a certain question, which is more of an intuitive question. And what they're saying in immediate response is they're running through my body to see where that question is in my body, where it's stopping the energy flow, where it's congesting things, where it's creating little spiraling, turning things, I'm laughing, and where my legs feel odd. It's funny, you should pay attention to that, because that's like breaking down the codes in your body-mind and telling you what wears your body out, right? There you are. So that's immediately what they started doing with me. Yeah. And they're being bossy today. They're also being really funny today. So they're saying, be patient, but pay attention. I am paying attention, I promise. And now they're working on me, but as they work on me, it's really funny. Various parts of my body suddenly hurt and then don't hurt. Not like lupus or one of these autoimmune situations. It's more like as they move the energy, I'm suddenly conscious of my right thigh and my left ankle, and then it moves to my shoulder, my left shoulder, and then there's something running up and down my esophagus and my throat. See what I mean? And you pay attention, because what you're getting is the mapping of how you hold your energy in response to certain subjects. And it's different for you than me. There are some overlaps, there are some commonalities, but a lot of times it's different for each of us. So when you're lying on that table, pay attention. They'll show you what you need to know. And they're smiling and laughing at us all. Good. Now wrap yourself in light and move that over to the side, and remember your healing team can replicate themselves. And now we're bringing in someone else. And here's a woman who's, it's the funniest thing, because her heart has been her chest area, the whole etheric heart. And I've got the team standing right around her table. Her etheric heart was really, really shut down when she was very small. More shut down because it didn't seem to feel like anybody could really understand its qualities, if that makes sense. Yeah. So here, our client here, our friend, is lying on the table, and what they're showing is that her heart is trying to open up. She's done a lot of work on herself. Her heart is trying to open up. Good. And that there's a lot of restriction and there's a lot of sadness in the heart. And I want to say to her, Ah, let the sadness come on up. Don't be afraid that it's blocking your heart. It's blocking your heart when it's not even telling you it's there. So anyway, the team is moving with your body right now. What's happening in your structure, all the rest of you out there? Let's move that. They're moving with her energy, and they're saying that there's a lot not locked in her knees and her feet and her upper thighs. It has to do with her heart having been, I won't say closed, I'd say blocked, protected, sort of put in a canister of some sort, and she wants to get it out. She's tired of that. And they're showing various parts of your body jumping around because you're trying to pull the plug on a system that has kept you, in quotes, secure. You don't want security to look like that anymore. That's it. And now they're running some really strong energy up through the perineum, and they're just flushing your body with light. Okay. And remember, your goal is to, this is for the one on the table, they're saying your goal is to open up to the love, and it will start with self-love. Or loving your divinity. It'll start any way that you can find to repeat over and over again. And now let's wrap you in light. We'll see who else is going to come in. Wrap you in light. Good. Now there's another woman coming in. We have a fresh table and a fresh team. And this woman is very tall and very vivacious and so on. And she has a lot of, I believe she has an Achilles heel problem, a tendon problem. Let me see here. I think I'm getting two of you overlapped. One is a male and one is a female. Both of you have Achilles heel, which is, the, you know, in the old legends, they talk about how, who was it that was a mighty battler and mighty war guy, but when his Achilles heel tore, he lost the battle. The Achilles heel is the thing that's known to maybe bring you down. So I'm seeing this woman who's tall and vivacious and dark-haired and so on, and she's got this tendon problem. She's lying. She's just come galloping and is lying on the table. Good. And they're saying to her, oh, we're asking for the bigger grouping of our team now. We want more and more and more of them. Yeah. Now, it's really interesting because they're telling her a number of things about herself. Mm-hmm. Telling her that she's afraid to be herself, and yet she has to do that. Otherwise, she won't feel safe. Apparently, this woman never feels safe. There we go. Can you feel that energy? They're running some great energy here. Okay, and now we're bringing the gentleman in that we said has a similar project going on in his body. Let's see, he's got a lot of tendon problems. And now the guides are working with both of them simultaneously because they both have kind of systemic ways of holding limitations in their body, and they're both based on fear. Now, if you knew these two people separately, you would never think they had much in common. But what's happening is the tendon ligament fragilities in their body is based on a very similar thing. It's afraid of who they really are. There's some kind of deep fear. In both cases, there's trauma that hasn't been released. Both of them tend to keep their emotional stuff separate from people. And that sort of puts a cork on things instead of it kind of flooding through your body, right? Now, we better wrap them in light, but the teams are working with them a lot, and I can feel the vibration just absolutely pulsing through them. And yeah. And now we're going to wrap those in light, move them over to the side here. Okay, now we're to do our, we've got the political one, don't we? We have the political table, and we're going to bring in a situation. So let's bring in Fukushima, because that's what we were talking about, right? Let's bring in the whole situation. Maybe we have to bring it in on the whole planet, because it's affecting the whole planet. Very little happens, even when you're thinking or sending negative or positive thoughts. All of that affects the whole species, right? Only this is quite a big one, isn't it? So it's going to affect people with a little bit more panache, a little more scary stuff. So I want you to bring Fukushima in, maybe its entire setting. There you go. Now, remember we were talking about how it talks about the part of you, part of me, that is very, very destructive. Poison and destructive. Yeah, the killer part of you. And we want to see that what the team is going to do to help us be able to clear. What is it we're doing? Okay, so we want to be able to clear more of our own destructive sense of self. Each of you do that. Bring it up. Feel it. Feel it. You can hand it away to your guides and angels. Or as the old biblical stuff, and I've been talking about metaphysics from the old days, saying, cast the burden. Cast the burden on the river of the Christing. I like that. There you go. And so you want to take up your destructive nature. We all have it. Don't lie to yourself. And then cast it over there onto the river of the Christ consciousness is a good way to put it. And then different ways of putting it. Good. And then the thing about it is that we want to see the energies being infused wherever there's this the effluent that is quite radioactive and so on. Let's just see a lot of healing energy. There we go. Going into that part. And then just the same as the radioactive waves that are traveling, let's have our healing energy travel in a way that sort of gobbles up and consumes the radioactive effluent. Good to see yourself doing that. And let's reach up with your mind as if it were a great, I don't know whether it's a scalpel or a great big spoon, with your mind as a tool. Call in this wonderful healing energy. Now, what color is it? Yellow, gold, apricot. All these amazing healing energies that are new. They're being downloaded. There's a tremendous connection to the center of the universe, and there's a lot of the enlightening consciousness coming through. We get bopped about by these fields and so on, but if you really call them in and feel them, you can find your body expanding and becoming really sparkly with them. And I want you to let those come in through the top of your head, run down your neck, into your heart, spin around in your heart, pop back up, and have them go through your shoulders, down your arms, out your hands. And I want you to just focus that energy pouring out of your hands into the Fukushima mess, the hole in there, to the reactors, everywhere. Because remember, you're clearing your destruction and you're into fusion, right? That's right. And let's surge that healing energy all through our world. Good, and have it go round and round and round the world. Because this stuff doesn't not touch any part of the world. Yeah. And then if we can ask for more help, we can ask for this amazing number of guides and angels, the unseen beings, those who have passed over that have tremendous amount of scientific knowledge, and so on, and ask for help. Say, show us the tools. We know that the tools are here on the planet to rectify this tremendous imbalance. We know that. Good. Just infuse it with light. And now I want you to, again, all right, so we have some wonderful healing energy coming out of our hands. Can you feel that? I want you to pat various parts of the world, other parts of the world, even where the Gulf spill was, where the West Virginia chemical spill was. Wherever there's chemicals in droves, you know, where there's pain, where there's sickness, where there's poverty, where there's greed, down, because I think people who are really greedy pay for that too. We have to learn to have compassion for that, don't we? And now I want you to wrap this entire world in this beautiful, beautiful light. Go back to Fukushima with it, and you're like stitching or painting. Go back there. Make sure it's got its full dollop, and then round and round and round our planet until the frequencies of harmony and connecting with the center of the galaxies where the God consciousness is coming through. All of that's getting knitted together. We can rise above this, you guys. We can choose it. And down and around the planet it goes. It comes up your hands and your arms, rolls down through your heart, swinging round and round in the heart, and then back up right through the neck, through the head, and out into the great central sun. And then have it spin around and go back down through your head, down through your spine, legs, and into the core of the earth. Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Now turn around and close off your Galactic Healing Center, and then jump into your Star Tetrahedron. Remember, this is your light body, so you can shift dimensions, spin and spin and spin and spin. And meet me here. Phone me. Let me know how you're doing. I'd love to hear from you. This is Veronica Entwistle saying you're listening to Radiance by Design. Don't just listen. Call in. You're not just listening anyway. Some of you have done a really good job going into the healing structures, and I really appreciate that, because collectively we can create the new earth, but we've got to keep getting our frequencies up, don't we? So call in at 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. So I'd love to hear how many of you are listening to podcasts. We're having an awful lot of fun going back over some of the shows, some of the amazing interviews that we've done with people that have so many perspectives on all this stuff. I've been on about the Galexis show, and Dr. Helen Caldicott was on about Fukushima, and she was really, like Galexis saying, you need to take responsibility, because the destruction that's apparent there is something that's resonant in all of us, and it's something that we have to release and grow out of, and that's the ideal. Helen Caldicott saying, wake up, wake up, wake up, do something about it. Write your congressman, make a fuss, connect with each other, talk about it, really learn what's going on the planet. So this is like slightly different approaches, eh? And then we have Florence Scovel Shin. We have Jill Miller, Dr. Jill Miller, talking about these old, the people that began metaphysics, or some of the women that did. And I keep telling you about this one, which is, what's her name? Myrtle Fillmore, who sang every day. Every little cell, what is it? Every little cell in my body is healthy. Every little cell in my body is well. So these are kind of strong, forceful things that seem kind of silly, but her whole point is that you can say this over and over and over again, and people actually get healing. And when you sing your affirmations, you sing your prayers, what happens is your brain actually makes a pattern, and that'll run when you're sleeping. You've heard people say these days, you know, you got to work it out so that you're making money while you sleep. To me, this is a really good example of that. It may not be making money, but it is making hay while the sun shines. You can actually get better and better. So I was sort of laughing about that. But also, we talked a lot about like the development of metaphysics. Let me see, how can I start this? The abolitionist movement and the suffragette movement and the evolution of the metaphysical churches, and all of that all coincided. Isn't that amazing? But it's all that kind of, like we're talking about the one earth or the new earth, and it keeps occurring to me that we have consciousness with certain kinds of thoughts and feelings, limitations and expansions, that we all breathe in at the same time. So every epoch in history has some common theme to it. And I was thinking about the abolitionist suffragette thing and so on. There was something about freedom and fairness that was going on then. Women were moving forward. Slaves were being released from being corralled. I mean, that's what was going on in the time. And now we have a kind of a different power, which is our ability collectively to learn to go inside and take responsibility for creating a reality, take responsibility for making the world a better place. But a lot of it has to do with going inside and connecting with who you are and how you're running your thinking, how you're running your defenses, how you're running your compassion and care for other people. It's really interesting, and I'm going, wow. I guess at this time, the fact that we're looking at some pretty nasty problems on our planet, the planet which is shrinking because of overpopulation, but also because of the ability to communicate all over the planet in an instant, right? That makes it a lot smaller than when you had to travel for days just to go to the next little town on a horse or something, right? I mean, things are changing radically, and as they change like this, and as we have that unity and that oneness, and we look at Fukushima, we have the ability to connect mind to mind consciously to incite one another to actually grow beyond this kind of destructive stuff. So I'm just thinking a lot about how, and I wanted to ask Alexis that, but I didn't have time because we ran out of time. But I wanted to ask how we were doing as a collective in various stages of our evolution. Are we evolving as a species or are we devolving? I don't know. It's really interesting, isn't it? I know that a lot of us are evolving like mad as individuals or as small groups. You think we're having a huge impact on the planet? Let's take a look and do a little bit more healing. I want you to call in so I don't have to just chat the whole time. Of course I will. I have a lot going on in my life, don't I? And so do you. How many of you went through the 60s? Were you really, really excited during the 60s? I'm writing my book, and that's one of the chapters. It's all about what it was like then. When we really thought, going back to the New Earth, we thought that we were going to create peace on Earth. And one of the reasons we thought we were is because we thought, essentially, everybody wanted it at some deep level. And, you know, it was a real eye-opener to know that some wanted you to just shut up. Or some wanted to, as some people had, are you surprised about this, vested interests. Oh, for heaven's sake. So anyway, I'd love it if you call in and talk about how you feel about the new Earth and what's going on and how it's going to evolve itself and how far along are you. Let's take a look and do some work on a few people out there that are standing back. The first person I saw was a woman whose belly, this is all women tonight, I better get into the men too, huh? Sorry, guys. But anyway, first I wanted to do this woman who was standing there, and she has a terrible, I want to say your belly is, and you can all pay attention to this, wrap yourself in light so you don't take on someone else's pain through empathy, okay? Everybody wrap yourself in light, and we're taking a look at this woman's belly. Forgive us for being so intimate. But in any case, what I'm seeing is two things there, is in your belly you have an aching, kind of a pain, a terrible loss. But there's something strange here which I haven't seen before, and they keep showing that your belly itself is becoming very, very clairvoyant. Now that sounds hilarious, right? But it's like you're going to be a woman who, under duress, probably at first, and ultimately you will tune it so it can be your toy rather than your its toy. But under duress, you can actually do readings through that. It's interesting to me that those of us who are intuitive, we all do our readings from different places, and sometimes directly through the heart. But, you know, even that, I don't think it's consistent. I think it's about your own personal journey, your soul's, this is if you're an intuitive, right? Your soul's drive, where it is you want to go in this life. What is your dharma? What are your stumbling blocks? What are the learning curves that you have to go through? You notice that? If I say all those things, they're different in every one of us, aren't they? And then as you bring up stuff that's hidden in you, and you bring up stuff that's hidden in someone else, and people trigger each other, you're going to have a different series of triggers than the next person. So what I'm seeing here is that as you, for this woman, you're going to have the area that runs your subconscious, your karma. It's as if when you go through this next period, you're going to find over and over again, it is through your belly that you learn to perceive what other people's intentions are, what they're meaning to do, whether they're good, whether they're not. It's really startling. Remember, a lot of your neurotransmissions, I'll be there with you in just a minute, I'm glad you called. A lot of our neurotransmissions are created first in the intestinal tract. So that all kind of makes sense that you could also be psychic from there. Goody, you're on the air. Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm really good. How are you?
Okay. I was wondering if you could, if you're doing a little bit of a psychic reading or can answer a question for me?
Of course I can. Is this Angela?
Maria.
Maria, hi, welcome. Yes, of course I am.
Okay. I was wondering if you see anything about me and Gary.
Okay, hang on a second. Is he just coming out of a... is he new? You're not involved with him yet, are you?
I've known him for 10 years. We recently started dating over the summer, but it's been a kind of on and off thing, and I don't know why.
You know that he was with somebody before, and that's kind of done, but I think he's twisted about it or pulled and pushed by it. Do you understand that?
He was with somebody before the summer, or...
Yeah, before he started dating you. Was he married or something?
Oh, yeah, but that's been over about 10 years.
Well, he seems to be being pulled by a woman who's a little older. I don't think he's running around or anything. I think he's only indecisive. And that's, he's got his attention pulled in. How is his mother or stepmother or something? Is she sick?
No, his mother's passed away a very long time ago.
But there's an older woman in his life. Who is that?
I have no idea. Maybe his sister. I don't know if she's older or younger, though.
Oh, because there's some woman that's pulling on him a lot. And it's leaving him always with a question of what he should be doing. It's not about him going to her. It's not that he's messing around on you. It's that he's very indecisive about what it is he wants to do, what he should deserve to do. I think that he is not very confident, and he really doesn't like to make big changes, and I do think he cares for you. You know, I think he's just scared stiff to make a move, or if he makes a commitment, then he's afraid, so he gets these really weird stomach aches when he tries to make a commitment. You know that?
But he's always the one been asking me for a commitment, and yet I hardly ever see him. And then we'll talk one day, and he'll disappear for 2 days. So I have no idea. That's why I thought it was somebody else. Like, where is he disappearing to?
Well, somebody's pulling on him, I'll tell you that. But I think it's somebody who wants him to be responsible or something. A and B, I swear, I don't think he can handle a commitment without feeling sick. He's got some damage in there, just like everybody else. But his damage is styled in that fashion. And I would say to you, Maria, that if you really love him, you're not sure either, sweetie.
Well, only because he's the one who talks about marriage and want a commitment, yet I don't see him, and then he disappears. So So that's why I'm not sure. If he was just consistent, I'd be sure.
Yeah, no, I would say no. I wouldn't want to tie up with him because he's not a bad person, but he's not really capable of being your Prince Charming in a nice, steady fashion. He's just not capable right now. And I know he's not that young, but he's still not capable. And I say to you, you know what? You've been through so much, and it's really time for you to really drop inside. Remember we talked about Fukushima. I don't know if you heard that part. But go inside and get that part of you that can't really make a commitment. Just mirror the heck out of him and be all the various things you see in him that you don't really like and keep clearing them in yourself. And just, you know, he's reflecting stuff that's inside of you. And there's something about this time that is really good for you because you've grown and grown. You've done a lot of the base work. And you're suddenly going to pop out as if you're popping out of a trance. And your life is going to change radically. And it looks like it's this summer in a huge way, in a nice way, in a beautiful way. So how, whether it's him or not, there's somebody there. And you will have a committed relationship and you'll both be ready. You know, but I don't think he's ready yet.
But it's not another woman he's dating, it's just a responsibility, or it's a woman but not in the type of dating way?
Yeah, some sort of response. Somebody is push-pulling with him and making him responsible for something. You know, it could be his mother who's on the other side, but there's something that's keeping him from feeling that he's allowed to be free to make the choices he wants. And I don't see her as a lover, I see her as some... Pardon me?
Oh, you don't see her as a lover, you see her as something else?
Yeah, that's why I asked if he had a stepmother or mother, you know. And but the problem is, here's the deal, is, and this is true for any of you at home, is that if you have, if your mother has kept you doubting yourself, right, she can be long gone and you're still living with that, right? So there's something about this man who's being influenced by another woman, and that's why he can't show up. And when he tries to, because he cares and he would really like home and family, he gets a really terrible stomach ache and he just freaks out. He needs some good therapy. He needs some tapping. He needs some hypnotherapy or something that really can shift those brain patterns for him and give him a sense of freedom from it. It's been very difficult for him. That should make it easier for you to be really compassionate, even though you're a little bit mad at him. Right?
You know, I don't get why he keeps asking for a commitment, yet he doesn't call for 2 days and I haven't seen him in a month. Like, why are you even bothering to ask me for a commitment?
Because, honey, he wants home and family and commitment, but he freaks out when he gets anywhere close to it. So he's got more than one side to his nature. Welcome to the world, mister, huh? And I'm sorry, it's hard for you.
Any ideas he'll calm down, or?
He needs therapy. If he does, he'd be really great. But I'm not sure he's going to do that. A, B, I'm not sure you're going to wait long enough. You're quite annoyed already.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're feeling pushed and slammed. Now I have to go because my time is up here, but I wish you the best and I hope you let us know how it goes. Light on him.
Thank you.
All right, bless your heart.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying that was a good example of using that reflective ability that we're supposed to be using with Fukushima, for example, and with one another to clear our own inner angst and so on. You don't have to understand it all. You don't have to know where it all comes from. You just have to feel the energy and feel the freedom after you move it all. So thank you so much for listening, and take care of yourself. My up-and-coming paradigm shifter is called Karuna Caton, and he's written a wonderful book called The Misleading Mind. It's all based on Buddhist psychology. I really like that book. It's kind of a nice system for what he calls mind training. So you're going to enjoy that one. I think you're going to enjoy an interview with Karuna Caton. This is Veronica Entwistle saying, if you have suggestions for other guests, if you have anything else to say, or if you'd like to have a session with me, Veronica at veronicaentwistle.com. That's my email. And my website is just www.veronicaentwistle.com. Love to talk to you. Thank you for listening. Many blessings and good night.